I am going to hit a few things here. So, I had a question raised last week, and it was a very good question, and I'm glad it was brought up, because I'm probably not going to get to that particular subject, and it was about the harvest of that time of the year of September, which is addressed again in this guy's article and in his book. But there was a part of the Jewish traditions that always gets brushed aside because people don't think about it. But every 7 years was a sabbatical year. There were no crops. And some of the references that that Jesus used as well, the parable of that he spoke of, the crops are ready, but you don't harvest for another 4 months, was actually talking about a sabbatical year. So a sabbatical year, there would have been no crops in the field. Now, the hilarious part is, if you stop and think about who it was in Egypt who knew something about stockpiling crops, Joseph. And not only that, Jubilee year. So there's a lot of different things that have to take place into that for the time frame in which we've been talking about. But last week I read to you out of Revelation. I'm going to go right back there. It's not going to come up here. Revelation 12, 1 through 6 out of the NIV. It says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. That is 3.5 years. So this is a sign that he saw in the heavens. So Jason, if you'll bring up that picture, I'll try to... Yeah. Okay. Let me see where my pointer is. All right. So here is the constellation Virgo. Remember, we talked about this last week, about how the astronomical signs are there for signs from God, not to tell us about how our day's going to go. That's witchcraft. But this study is legit. And we'll talk more about that next time when we talk about the Magi. Because there's a reason why they picked up on something in the sky. So you got Virgo, and here's Libra, and this is facing west. And so it starts showing you the sun. Now, here's a cyclic picture of it. So right here, you have the moon. I'm going to go up closer. Right here, you have the moon at 7 a.m. on September 6th. The moon at 7 a.m. September 7th. The moon at at 7 on the 8th. The moon at 7 on the 9th. The moon at the 7 on the 10th. And the moon at her feet on the 11th of September, 3 B.C. Now, for that to have happened as well as the way John saw it, right here, as you were, it would be up here. The sun clothing the woman mid-bodied, while the moon is under her feet. The only time in the year that occurred and able to be observed was from about 6:15 to 7:45 p.m. on the 11th. So I told you, he said he could predict, he could not predict, but show you about the time. Based on something that came up in Revelation, which was many, many years after Jesus was even gone. And why at that point, 6:15 to 7:45? Because the sun had set. When the sun set, it was a new day. September 11th in 3 BC began at night. So what we're seeing here with these images is just how what God was talking about in Genesis about the symbols of the zodiac, because God's the one that mentioned them, Poseidon, he mentioned Pleiades, he mentioned a couple of them throughout the time. He says, I put them there to tell a story. I put them there. I hung them. I call them by name. We may call Polaris Polaris. Be interesting to know what God calls it. Let me try to get back. So according to Ernest Martin in the book The Star of Bethlehem, the star that astonished the world, the only time of the year that the sun could be in position to clothe the celestial woman called Virgo, that is to be mid-bodied to her in the region where a pregnant woman carries a child, is when the sun is located about between about 150 and 170 degrees ecliptical. This clothing, as it were, of the woman by the sun occurs for a 20-day period each year. This 20-degree spread would indicate the general time when Jesus was born. In 3 BC, the sun would have entered the celestial region about August 27th and exited from it about September 15th. If John in the book of Revelation is associating the birth of Jesus with the period when the sun was mid-bodied, this woman called Virgo, and this is no doubt what he means, then Jesus would have to be born within that 20-day period from the point of view of the Magi. This would have been the only logical sign under which the Jewish Messiah might have been born, if he were to be born of a virgin. So as we go down through here and we look, Luke 2, verses 8 through 9, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks, when? At night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, today, the start of the new day, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Today. September 11th, 3 BC. But that's not the important date. I mean, I think it is for us so that we don't get bummed out on September 11th. But that day is Tishri 1, Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah. It's the new year. Some other things about Yom Teruah, which is the biblical name of Rosh Hashanah. Most of us know, if you look on your map or your calendar, it'll show Rosh Hashanah. Didn't know what that was. Teruah. I've talked about this word before because it is mentioned. Balaam went to curse the people of God. And he came back. He says, I can't curse the people of God, for there is a shout of a king in their midst. That word shout is the word teruah. In our world, each one of our branches has a motivating grunt or yell. The army has a hoo-ah, right? We're my army guys. Yeah. We all try to distort them as much as we can. So we sound like a dog barking or something. I believe even the British Army had hoo-ah and hooray, right? The Marine Corps has one simple one. And it always bucks. I'm like, man, I don't want to say that stupid saying. Now I say it everywhere I go. And that is hoorah. And in all the branches of our military, it has the same thing. It means the same thing. It is a mighty shout. Now, if you want to get people motivated who aren't motivated, you get them shouting, right? Go team, yay team, right? But when you shout like this, the hoorah is something that I can speak as a Marine, we would do to motivate our generals, our colonels, get them going. And then in turn, they'd get us going. We were hoping for a day off, but then they would motivate us because they're telling us we're going to battle. That's what we ended up, that's what happened after they, I was told, we're going to war. I was like, oh, this is real. This ain't Full Metal Jacket. It ain't on TV anymore. And something rose up in everybody. And it was a growl. It was a bubbling up. Oorah. And the deeper you can get it, the dirtier, nastier you can get it, the more powerful it is. And you need to understand something. This was called the Day of Trumpets. The blast. They would blow a shofar 100 times on this day. And it was a shout. It was the shout that Balaam heard when he went to curse the people of God. Because he couldn't. Because that shout was reminding him God is in charge. And all he could do was bless them. The king was like, shut up, Balaam. So Jesus, according to this, and I have to agree with what this guy's saying, because I've read all of his articles about it, was born on the day Yom Teruah, the festival of trumpets. The new year. The festival of trumpets when people would go out and announce. Oh, by the way, what are we waiting for Jesus? Blast of a trumpet. Kind of fitting, isn't it? But more importantly, Yom Teruah was the coronation day of Israel's kings. What better day? There hasn't been a king in Israel for, at this point, what, about 200 years? It's been a while since there's been a king. The Maccabees, they weren't kings because they didn't fall in the line. So it's been a while, since about 600 BC. There hadn't been a king in Israel until 3 BC when he was born in a barn. His bed was where the hay was at. His mom, his dad. Shepherds showed up. Kind of fitting as well. God orchestrated it all. It wasn't by happenstance that those shepherds were in that field and were told to go over here. God is the one who orchestrated it all. So when we understand that God is orchestrating everything today, we have to be able to look in the Bible and rightly discern it. We have to look at prophecy correctly and discern it. I don't consider myself a student of prophetic utterances, but I've tried to understand a lot of this as much as I could. I have some theories that some of you would probably greatly disagree with. Doesn't matter. Oh, by the way, if you don't agree with this, it doesn't matter. It don't matter. To me, this makes sense. Timing and everything. Explanations for everything. So, Saul would have been coronated on Tishri 1, the first king. It's believed that Abraham and Jacob both were born, which would have been Esau as well, were born on Tishri 1. The father of the Jews, born the same day, the king of the Jews. I've heard the Jews say coincidence is not a kosher word. It's not by accident. God does everything with a purpose. Well, I don't get, why did God send me down this street? Well, look, find out. You get down there, you're going to be like, that's why God put me on that road. Oh, yeah, it was also the new moon. That's kind of the point of the new month, is it was also the new moon. A I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff here that just more into the... I've already pointed out to you about the Feast of Trumpets, and Jesus was announced with a trumpet, and he'll be announced with a trumpet again. There was a point here other theologians have proposed that Jesus was born on the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, or on Passover. Even some prominent messianic rabbis have written articles supporting this position. For an example, Ave Ben Mordecai, author of Messiah, Volume 2, Understanding His Life and Teachings in Hebraic Context, has taken the position that Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, was born on the first day of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, which is a festival beginning on Tishri 15. He said, now note that I agree with Mordecai on the month, but I disagree on the day. In my opinion, the case for Jesus' birth on the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, or Tishri 1, is much stronger, and Revelation chapter 12 is the clincher. The Bible says, with every two or three witnesses may every fact be established. So if somebody comes to me and says, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is practicing witchcraft. Okay. Now, if you're telling me she's playing video games, we're going to have a conversation, just the two of us. But if you have a charge, the Bible says to bring two or three. And against an elder, you had better bring as many as you possibly can. Because you're taking your life in God's hands is what you're doing. So two or three witnesses, not just one. I've had so many people over the years tell me, well, God told brother so-and-so that this is who this was or this is what happened. Did God bother telling anybody else? Because God said two or three witnesses. He spoke that through Paul. If you're going to bring a charge, you're going to say something, let it be established. Look in the Bible. Prophecy foretells. Oh, by the way, God hung those stars way back in the day. Another interesting thing about Tishri 1. Any idea why that's the beginning of their year? I think I'd heard this, but I did not know for sure. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. It's the day, the first day of creation. That's what they're celebrating. The Jews believe the first day of creation was Tishri 1. Because they've been keeping track. I don't know how, because they got 70 years. They were in Babylon. Their actual time in Egypt was about 100, 120. So they had some time that might have been missing. Don't know, and I'm not here to argue with them. I personally don't think time began until Adam sinned. But you know what's hilarious? Even if we go from, they start from when he was created, I start from when he sins, and we come up with the exact same timelines. So it don't matter. The Feast of Tabernacles occurs from September 26th to October 3rd in the year 3 BC. Jesus' birth during that time is impossible for several reasons. When properly examined, it is obvious that the feast could not have been born, he could not have been born during any of these three pilgrim feasts. Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, or Tabernacles. These were times when all Jewish men, remember, you've got to understand their traditions, their customs, and their laws. When all Jewish men in Israel were required by law, given by God to Moses, to be in Jerusalem. They weren't in Bethlehem because of God's law. Because Caesar said, I want to know who I'm taxing. How many people? How many people in your family? However, Luke tells us that during Jesus' nativity, everyone went to his own city. Joseph and Mary both went to Bethlehem, not to Jerusalem at the time of his birth. This necessarily rules out both Passover and Tabernacles as dates for his birth. Again, so many things. That's why there's some things I just choose to read them and follow. And he gave scripture references. And you have access to this as well as I do, if it bothers you that bad. So there's a lot of things to take in consideration. Our Savior would have been born at night between 6:15 and whatever it was, 7:29 or something. It's kind of dark, isn't it? Angels are going to show up pretty good in a land that's not contaminated with light. But God did all of this. And he put it in the stars. I'm going to stop there. Because it is 12:30. But I want to talk to you more about the Magi. Because again, they weren't there that night. Scripture, I'll even show you the scriptures that prove it. But we celebrate his birth. You know, I've often wondered, why do we, I get it, the nighttime, but if we're going to do it properly, as far as worship, or celebrating the birth, why churches have Christmas Eve services? I get it. But it's not a midnight service. He was probably squalling his head off at that time. Oh no, Jesus was a perfect baby. He never spit up. He never pooped himself. Want to bet? He had to be humble too. Mary had to know what it was like to be a mama. So she had a little bit of pain, a little discomfort. But we're watching the signs. They kept telling. There's things that we know that Daniel had to look away from. He had to eat a book. John had to eat a book. Because they kind of sweet and then they turned bitter. Because of the revelation. So I'm going to tell you this. If you think what we've read in Revelation is bad, what did they see? Now you got me scared, preacher. Yeah, don't worry. Know who your God is. Know who your God is. That's why Jesus came. But this, I think it's important. If the revelation is out there, I think it's important to get to know it. And I'll talk to you more about the stars moving, because stars don't move. But yet, the Bible clearly states that the star stopped. It moved and then it stopped. But God did so many things that were marvelous in such a short period of time. That in the heavens, they said between the 3 and 2 BC, there was so much astrological activity going on in the heavens. It was amazing. And it wasn't a comet. I'll just help you out right there. Comets were harbingers of bad, not good. Kind of makes you a little concerned. We just had a comet. If you're going to hold on to that. I don't know if it is or not. I saw Halley's Comet. Thought it was pretty cool. Won't ever see it again. But if it does bring, if it does is a harbinger to bad, eh. I serve a good Father. Amen. Let's stand. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that's knowledge. He didn't say wisdom. He said knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of said knowledge. See, wisdom is interpreting the things going on in the sky right. Sheer knowledge is worshiping it. And we can't worship knowledge. We understand how an atom is made up. We can split said atom and create devastation. But we can't figure out how to stop hunger. We can't figure out how to stop people from killing one another. Everybody, every country has a law, thou shalt not kill. That's knowledge. Wisdom is figuring out how to get people to quit. And that's what Jesus came for. Love your families. Love your friends. And I know I've said it before, if you can't be with those that you love, love the ones you're with. It's got a lot of power to it. You can't always be there. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy something. Christmas 1990, I was sitting out in the parking lot eating the nastiest roasted hog I'd ever had. They don't got them in the Philippines. It was not good. Sitting in front of my executive officer, major. Here I am, a PFC, eating in front of an executive officer of our company, surrounded by other privates and lance corporals, and just had a good time. So take that time and enjoy it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the birth of the Messiah that you sent to Israel to become a Jew, a Hebrew child. Father, I thank you what you're going to do with this world. Lord, we know that there's things that this world's going to happen, things we may or may not see. Father, our trust is in you. Lord, I thank you that Jesus did come. He was that baby, so humbled, so vulnerable, Lord, and you protected him. You kept Herod from killing him, the same Herod who was possessed of the devil. Lord, I thank you that we get to call you Daddy, that he pointed the way, that he showed us your heart. Father, may that heart be in us all, not just this season, but all the time. Now, Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for their love. I thank you, Lord God, that it's going to grow, that their joy will be found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.